Okay, there you go. Now you can hear me? Okay. So when are we saying, we talked about the exceptions last time. The Dina de Bar Mitzvah is not said when it's going to affect the Moicher, and that's what we're talking about, the exceptions to the rule. At what point do you say it or don't you say it? I want to talk about now more, when is the Iker Schos of the Matzah Negeya? And this is probably the most shaykh question that comes up, which is what type of use does the neighbor have to have in the property to claim that that he should have the rights to it? So for example, let's say a great property comes up next door to him and it's on some sort of foreclosure or whatever. It's not foreclosure, but it's on a regular deal and he could get it for a good price and he could flip it and sell it to someone else. So does the neighbor have a right to that property in that case? Look, let me take it. Now, says in our case, right? Reuven is the neighbor, Shimon is the seller, and Levi's the outside, is the buyer. So does Reuven have rights to the property of Shimon because he wants to then go and flip it to someone else? I mean, at that point, or do you say, no, look, the whole idea is that Reuven should have a rights to it because he's going to use it as part of his property. He's living next door. He's just going to buy it and flip it. So what's the point of that? That doesn't give him an advantage. What happens if he's going to buy it to rent it out? Does that give him an advantage? You know, one could argue, well, look, it's better to rent something. It's better to be a landlord of a property that you live next door to than not. But is that enough of an advantage? Or is that not enough of an advantage? Okay. Or maybe to the extreme other side, maybe it's only if you're planning on knocking down both houses and building one big house over both properties. Because then you're talking doing something that would be impossible to do it elsewhere. This is the only place you could possibly do that. There's nowhere else to do that. So maybe that's the only time that you have the advantage. What's the scope of where it's nogeya in the first place, the schar, the mila of the matzah? Okay? So there's a gemara over here on page 2. It's on page 2. It's line 36. It's the second to last line in the sugya. It's actually line 35. Towards the end of the line, it says, if sik mishunisa a richva de dikla, if there's two fields, and between the two fields, there is a row of trees, or between the two fields, there is a very big stone. Chazina, we take a look. Im yochol lahachnis ba filu telem echad, if you could theoretically plow through one area of the trees, or one area of the stone, and connect the fields by plowing through it as one big field, then is being mishum dina de bar mitzvah. Then it counts, then it's considered as good enough schus as a neighbor, and it counts as dina de bar mitzvah. Ve'iloi, and if not, less being mishum dina de bar mitzvah. If you can't connect the two fields as one, then you lost your rights to the dina de bar mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara seems to say that as far as fields are concerned, you're using to plow to plant. Your only dina de bar mitzvah rights are if you could actually connect them as one smooth field. If you're going to have to go and plow one field, then pack up the plow, pack up all your materials, put them in a truck, drive around, and then go to the next field, then there's no advantage to buying the one next door. You may as well buy a different one, and you would have no... It only is if you can use them continuously as one big field. Says... The Rosh brings down, it's actually, Tosfos kind of brings it down also. But it's not as clear in the Tosfos. So we're going to go to the Rosh. Take a look at the Rosh, which is on page 5. Ois Lamed Dalet. So it's page 5 in the booklet. It's the last paragraph in the first column. So he says like this: if it's mishunisa richva de dikla chazina, im yochel lahachnis batel mes is be mishumdina de baretzah, viloy less be mishumdina de baretzah. That's a quote of the Gemara. Pasak Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam makes an astounding psak based on this Gemara that loy shayich dina de baretzah bebatim elo besadois. There's no dina de baretzah when it comes to homes. The whole dina de baretzah is on fields. Don't leave right now. Don't leave yet. I'm saying. But Rabbeinu Tam basically says everything we've been talking about is not shayef. That's not the sugya. The sugya was about fields, because fields you can create from a, instead of having a 10,000 square foot field, you can have a 20,000 square foot field. It's much better for you. So there we have to give the matzron the advantage of buying it and making it into one big field. But having two homes, what's the point of having two houses next to you? Who cares if they're next to each other, not next to each other? It doesn't help you. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam holds from this Gemara, you see that the entire sugya is about fields and not homes. This is Rabbeinu Tam's shita. And the Rush then goes in, and I want to keep track, but the Rush goes in and gives three reasons for this. He says, first of all, the time of Mishum Diyachol Likach B'makam Acher, Ubatim Einam Metzuyim Likles B'chol Pam. Number one, he says, nothing to do with this sugya. But number one, he says, homes are not so easy to come by. A field is wide open. The countryside is very big. Go find the field somewhere. Don't buy the field that's next door to mine. I want to make my field bigger. But a home is a home. If you want this home, you're allowed to buy it. And don't tell me, because you live next door, I should leave. So Levi, the buyer, would be allowed to buy a home if he wants it. That's the first reason to remain atop. The second reason is if you're an investor and you're buying it to rent out, so you're trying to make more money, you don't have to rent out the home next to you. But if you're trying to make your field bigger and you want to make more money that way, that makes more sense. So even as an investor, it makes more sense of a field versus a home. And then the last reason he says, in the third to last line, he says, that when there's a hefsek between the properties, when there's a block between the properties and they don't connect, there's no bar metra. So batim also have a hefsek. There's a wall between the homes. Since there's a wall between the homes, so the wall between homes is like the row of trees between the fields. There's a wall between, my house has a wall, your house has a home. Has your home has a wall, and my house has a wall. Oh, so this is the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam basically just knocked out the entire sugya from halacha lemaisa. We don't live in an agricultural society, so for us, people are not buying fields. So since people are not buying fields, the whole bar mitzvah is only by homes. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying there is no bar mitzvah on houses; it's only on fields. Okay, so how do we argue with your Rabbeinu Tam? Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam said three svaras. The first svar Rabbeinu Tam said was that. He said that it's hard to find the house. Since it's hard to find the house, so you have to let the guy buy a house. So we're going to see next week that in certain areas, in certain places where it's taka hard to find the house, maybe we would waive bar mitzvah. But you can't say that across the board. Rabbeinu Tam uses that to say across the board, we say there's no bar mitzvah by homes. We don't agree to that. Okay, so I'm saying certain exceptions we'll make. But we're not going to say because of this, but it'll knock out the entire thing. So we will respect Rabbeinu Tam's logic, but we are going to see next week where do we apply it. Rabbeinu Tam used it to say, because of this, we don't say bar mitzvah b'chlal. We'll see where we come back to address that. The other thing he says, well, it doesn't make sense. You're going to use it to rent out. So Inchanan Michazanish says that if the matzron wants to buy the home just to rent it out, he would not have the advantage of the matzron. It's true. We agreed with Rabbeinu Tam on that point. If you're buying it to rent and not to use, then you're not considered a matzron. You have an advantage that it's easier to be a landlord over a home that's next door to you than not next door to you. Okay, that's nice. It could also be across the street. But that's not Yashav HaToyv as far as we're concerned, because there's something on the other side. The other guy needs a home. So therefore, if Reuven is only buying it as an investor in a Hanami, he would not necessarily have the rights of a matzron. What?
Even if Levi is buying it as an investor as well. Then there's one more story that we had before. I want it as a field and I want it as a house.
I'm not sure. Now the real question I want to talk about the rest of this year is the last question of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam brought up a svara based on the Gemara that if you cannot connect the two properties, there's no bar mitzvah. If you cannot connect the two properties, no bar mitzvah. So two homes, since the homes are separate, identifiably separate, we do not say bar mitzvah. So how do we address that, Rabbeinu? We argue on Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush says Rabbeinu Tam's logic is very good, but we don't pass on Rabbeinu Tam. He doesn't tell us why not. We pass on, there is dina de bar mitzvah. The neighbor has an advantage, has the right of first refusal on the home, even by houses, not by fields. The question is, how do we address Rabbeinu Tam's question. The Gemara says if you cannot combine the fields, there's no bar mitzvah. So why are homes different? Okay? So this is the question. How do you address Rabbeinu Tam's logic? So there's two ways to address Rabbeinu Tam. One is what David was saying. And this logic is brought, let's see in the Beis Yosef, okay? The Beis Yosef is on page 56. Actually, it's the top line of 57. Okay? It's the Beis Yosef. It's on the right hand. It's an inner column. So the Beis Yosef brings from the Rashba. And he says the following. And this is going to be very negay. He says, Kasav bin Mukhi Yosef. Shea Rashba Kasav. The top line of 57 in the right column. Al Divrei Rabbeinu Tam Veramad. The Rashba brings Rabbeinu Tam. And he says the following. She'ein ani doin doin milaraya. Don't bring me a proof from the case of the field. Deshain sell up, because there when you have big stones in between the fields, ain also lehistalik. You can't get rid of those. V'chein rechav dekalim, davar chashuv, ain abal masum la'akron. Big, tall palm trees. No one's going to get rid of those just to combine the field. No one does that. V'sadus chalukim, heim la'olam. And therefore they will remain as two independent fields forever. Avol batin, but a home, darkon lechabram b'psochim. You can connect them through, making a hole through the wall. And forget, people do that often. And he's talking about a townhouse. Let's say you have townhomes, connected townhomes. So one house is connected to the other. There's a wall in between them. So you could easily knock down the wall and connect the field. So the fact that there is a wall there is not a raya to that the homes will remain independently separate. Maybe you connect the wall, you'll connect them. This is the Rashba's argument on Rabbeinu Tam. So the argument on Rabbeinu Tam is, according to this, pretty limited, but basically that you can connect them. I would say nowadays, if it's a town home, you would have that, or an apartment, a condo, you would have that maybe. And even two homes, let's say you're buying them to connect, you actually are going to knock down one of the homes and connect them. So then maybe you also have it there because you want a big one, bigger house. Then, but it would only be in that type of case, according to the strict reading of this Rashba. Okay? Well, he doesn't say that. One second, we're going to get there. But I'm saying, that's right, according to the strict reading of the Rashba, it sounds like you have to be able to connect the homes. Okay. Now, there is another answer. And the answer is that by fields, I don't really care. So that's one way, that's a very strict reading of the Rashba, that you have to be able to connect the homes, and it's very limiting on the rights of the neighbor then. The other way is the other way. We're going to open it up a lot more. And as far as based on the Tosfos Rid, and it's based on some of the other Tshuva Svarim, the Radvaz, some of the other Tshuva Svarim, that they want to say, no, the answer is that by a field, you don't really care, like in your office. You don't really care who's next door to you. I have my office, you have your office. So if I have a field and the guy next door to me has a field, okay, look, I plant tomatoes, he plants cucumbers, we mind our own business, and then they go home, right? But at home, I actually care who my neighbor is. So therefore, since I act, there's always an advantage to knowing who your neighbor is. There's a big hakpada on who lives next door to you. So therefore, at the matzron's rights, we would allow you to buy the home, that alone, just to make sure that the other guy, that no one else gets. There's an advantage. You can't compare it to a field. It's not comparable. A field is a field, and it only is to your advantage to own it if you could use it as one big field. But a house, there's an inherent advantage to owning the house next door to you, because this way you could put who you want, you can ensure who your neighbor will be. Or you can make sure he's not going to build a second story, and you're going to give you hezek re'iyah. And there's all sorts of hilchoshchenim, and there's all sorts of halachas, how your neighbors deal with you. And therefore, I want to ensure that I know who's there, even if I want to rent it out or whatever. Maybe not rent it out, but maybe I'll sell. Whatever the reason why I want it, I want to keep it empty. I'm going to use it for some. But the point is, I want to know, I'll lend it to some. But I want to know that there's an advantage for me getting the field. This is the other reading of the Rashba. Okay. Now, there's Gavaldika.
Why does the Gemara have to go so far to say if a guy moves in, it's like I remove again. This far is as far as much lower level than.
No, because that's even on a field. A guy is even on a field comes out, according to the, right, yeah, he has to cheshvin that out. According to that, svar, everything's in a field, not in a bais. Would you say, what do I care if I have a guy in the field? That's a good point.
Right.
No, you're right. You have to say, according to this, everything in the whole thing is only a field. So now you have to readjust everything. Fine. But this is...
What if a guy buys it and he states his intention and then he doesn't exercise that intention?
I'm saying that's unfortunately it has happened. I know one case like that. But that's it. I'm saying at that point, probably both parties have moved on. And that means that you're saying that Shimon, Reuven lives here. Shimon's selling the house. Levi wanted it, right? Now, Reuven lied to the Beis Din. Now, Levi finds out that Reuven lied to the Beis Din. I'm not sure Levi wants to be Reuven's neighbor anyway. I don't know if he wants to live there. I'm saying he's going to buy the house. He's going to prove his neighbor that he lied in Beis Din, and then he's going to live next door to him. And he's probably just going to move on. The cases that I've seen that happened once, did happen like that. And I don't know if it was intended. Maybe he didn't mean to lie. Maybe at the time he did intend to, but then he couldn't afford it, lady. I don't know. But the point is that it has happened. Now, a great nafkamina of where you see this is such an interesting case. Okay, so if you look here, there is a halacha that's going to be pretty surprising to people. It's on the next page in the tour, page 58, on the last line of the tour, not in the Beis Din, the last line of the tour. Uvimekaymais shel Beis HaKnesses. What if you're selling your seat in shul? So there's seats. Everyone has a specific seat. You know, this is, you know, everyone has a seat. And I want to sell my seat. And the seat in shul goes up for sale, the one next to me. So is there a bar mitzvah in shul seats? So there's an issue brought in the tour. Okay. So v'makoymes shel beis haknesses. Kosav arayvid mikoyach adin yesh ba matronos. Shehen kecharka. The arayvid says that there is matronos. Alfa pishe miskabal al adas. He says, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. Because there are cases where it's very far away and it wouldn't make sense. Why in the world should there be matronos by batei knesses? So what's the arayvid discussing here? So the tour, the Beis Yosef explains the Ravid like this. He says, the Ravid had a problem. What do you mean that he's saying, if a guy, the seat next door to you in shul goes up for sale. So the guy wants to buy it and now you want to buy it. Does the matron have a right to buy the seat next door to him in shul? So says the Ravid, I mean, of course not. Why? Because you only need one seat. And the whole din of Rabbeinu Tam showed us that the point of matronis is to combine it. What, you need two seats now? You need one for Shachas, one for Musaf?
No, one for your son.
Oh, who said anything about your son? Where did that come in?
One for your stendard.
What?
One for your stendard.
Okay, so you say, so the Ravid says, it doesn't make sense to have Matronos by a seat in Shul, because you only need one seat. So he says, what are we talking about? So he says, I'm looking around, make sure that, so he says, what we're talking about where, in some places, like in there, on a table like this, it's supposed to have four chairs. We slip in five chairs. So there's five seats. So but really, it's a four-person table. So he says, so Zuck the Ravid, if you were stuck on a four-person table, but they've stuck five people on the table, so therefore, if one of the seats goes up for sale, you could have buy Matsronos because now you want more space. So you're talking combining the two seats into one. So that's what we're talking about, says the Ravid. That's what we're talking about where there's Matronos and Shul. In other words, he's taking like the Rashba's approach, that, right? That you have to be able to combine them into one. Now, what does everyone else say? What Shmuel said? What do the other Mefarshim say? The other Mefarshim include the Chassam Sofer, includes the Aruch HaShulchan, includes anyone before that? The other Mefarshim, and one of the tshuvas, there's two tshuvas from the Rivash on this topic, and they say, look, if you don't care who's in next door to you in your office, okay, you don't really care who's next door to you in your sadr, your office. Maybe you care who lives next door to you in your neighbor. But you surely care who's davening next to you. That's for sure. You definitely don't want that guy. There's certain people you definitely have a big akbada who's davening next to you, right? So since when it comes to shul, there's a very big akpado davening next to you, and like you said, you may have an advantage to have it. Why would you have an advantage? Because you want to put your family member there, and there's a reason why. The minig is, it's clear in the Shulchan Aruch that the minig was to put your family member there. So even therefore, even if you cannot combine the seat into two seats, like let's say you have pews, you have very specific seats. You can't just make out of a four-person table, it's very specific seats. That's what they talk about in the Beis Yosef. Even if you have a daf, you said there's a daf between the seats. You can't make a bigger seat. Your seat is your size. Still, there will be a mila to buying the seat next door because this way you have a akpadan who's living there. And you want to put your kid there, you want to have an event. So therefore, we would say that based on that akpada, we would give you the rights to the seat. Okay. So again, you see these two tzedadim, right? How is the bar mitzvah falling out? Is the bar mitzvah only when you can combine it into one? In which case, the seat's case would be very limited to like a bench. Or is bar mitzvah any advantage that the matzron has by being next door is good enough? Okay, these are the two tzedadim. All right, now.
Both sides have
one,
the seat that's emptying out.
So they're both bar mitzvahs. That's true, even by anything. We said that before. So when there's two matzahs, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay, so sometimes you split it. It's not going to help here, obviously. Sometimes the halacha would be you give it to the guy that came first.
Well, split it, yeah.
Yeah, if you have the five-person bench situation, you could split it, right? You could say, each person brings their chair, you get a little more space. I'll bring a wider chair, whatever. But you're right. Okay? So that's the other side here. Now, we're gonna go back to the Beis Yosef in a minute, but I want to just go to Shulchan Aruch show you in Shulchan Aruch what the Mefarshim Shulchan Aruch say, because it sounds, there's an Aruch Shulchan, but it's not so posh. Okay, let's look in the Shulchan Aruch. It's on Sif Nun Gimel, which is on page 92. Okay, so how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin about the Shiloh of Bar Metzer in houses? So Shulchan Aruch says as follows in Sif Nun Gimel, page 92. B'chol ha-karkois sheba'olam, any sort of property, real estate, yesh din matzronos. It means whether it's commercial, whether it's residential, whatever reason it is, property, there is bar metzra. Avo b'metaltalin v'avodim ein din matzronos. Now, we'll get to that next week. What does that mean? Metaltalin, I'm selling my car, there's no bar metzra. So in the world are you talking, what's that referring to? I'm selling my boat. So there's no bar mitzvah on the boat. Well, what are we talking about exactly? So what we're talking about, we'll see, is that what if you're a partner with someone and you're selling your half? Do you have to sell your half to your partner, or could you sell it to anybody? Okay, so that's what we'll talk about. Umuchuber lakarka kakarka v'yesh din matzronos. Now the Rama adds v'lochein yesh din matzronos bebatim. There is matzronos when it comes to homes. That's the Rama's psak. And also in seats and shul. Okay, but we're leaving it open. We still have two pshatim. Is it because you want it, it's good for you, or is it because you can combine them? So let's look at the mefarshim. So let's look at the gra. The gra here is the Biur gra on page 92. V'lochein, it's the last thin line of the gra. The gra is thin lines and goes to fat lines. So it's the last thin line in the gra. So the gra says, the Rama is saying not like Rabbeinu Tam. Shekosav de'in matzronos bebatim. Rabbeinu Tam said there's no matzronos in batim. Midam rinan ifsik mishunisa. V'dochu, but the mefarshim argue in Rabbeinu Tam. Why? The batim asuim l'hisarev ayde psachim. Because you can open up the homes into one home with doorways. So clearly the Gra is paskening, seemingly, like the Rashba. That's because you can make it into one. Look at the Taz. The Taz adds something. The Taz is the Torah Zov. It's right on top of the Gra. It's on the left column. When he says, Yesh din matzronos bebatim, says the Taz, Nirali dim einam smuchim mamish, ela yesh ktsas derech hiluch b'nei adam b'neim, if there is an alleyway between the two properties, or there's a hiluch rabin, ein kan din matzronos, we don't go with matzronos there. V'chein mashma b'seisef, lefiatam shekasav shebatim yesh matzum mishum shedakim mechaber b'psach. Since the Rashi says you have to be able to combine them, if there's a derek between them, it wouldn't work. So again, they seem to be going with the Rashba's understanding, the Taz, the Gra. What about the Sma? There's a big difference. We'll see. The Sma, Meir HaSinayim, on the inside column next to the Shulchan Aruch, the second wide line, he brings the entire thing. Then he says, again, you can open it up from one to the other at the last line of the Smas of Katan Sarichas. So all these Mepharshim on the page of the Shulchan Aruch seem to be going that the idea is you can combine them into one. Okay?
So if you have the yard, that's
good. I think a derech hiluk would be, let's say you have an alleyway. Let's say you have an easement. Right? That you can't really use it. I don't know the legal ramifications of an easement. Right? You're not really allowed to build over that. Right?
The public.
Yeah. The public can use it.
One example, what if you're on 12 acres of land where you're not close to each other? I think that's what he's also saying.
Right. I mean, Yeah, okay. But what he says is that it's yesh derech hiluk b'nei b'nei right. Okay.
Then you have a piece of property that doesn't
do it. If they're close together, then yeah. If they're far apart, it doesn't
do it. So if you'll be 2 acres, if each house on 2 acres, you're now 4 acres combined of land filled.
If you're a guy that's on 2 acres, probably wants the land, so maybe it's good for him off the land. Right, right. He maybe off the land he would have it. Right.
Right.
I'm saying, okay, so let's get to that. Hold on. So fine. So I'm just saying is right now, I would say, is that we have this mechudish mahalach from some of the achrayim that say that any advantage is good enough. And then we have on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz, the Sma, the Gra, all seem to be going with the more strict approach that the only time we give you the advantage is if you could open it up into one house. I mean, the townhouse or a townhouse or a condo, but homes in the neighborhood would not apply, basically.
What about basic farms?
Basic farms is like because the minig is to put families together, it's a separate sugya. It's a sugya of pagam mishpacha. If you bring in someone else in there, it's like, whoa, what's wrong with your family? It's like it's more like covered. You can't just go and sell off a plot that's in the family plot to someone else. It seems like it's a different sugi over there. But that's only when there's a family plot. Let's say you have a husband, you know. It can get sticky. They talk about it, okay? So, well, Amaisa, what's going to be, I think, and probably, I would say probably the more common case is not that you're going to combine the house. That's unlikely. It happens, but it's unlikely. It's not the most common case. I'll give you an example of the most common case. The most common case is A, I buy a house next door to me because I want it for guests. Right? We all live in homes here that there's no basement, there's nowhere to put guests. So I have a house next door to me. I want to put my guests when they come often enough. I want to put guests there. Or I want to use it for storage. Or I want to use it for an office / exercise room / whatever. All the slashes that I can't fit into my own house, I want to use it as a subordinate use to my home. I'm not going to attach it, but I want to use it as my you know, overflow, stuff that I can't use in my own house. Okay? Or what you guys are saying, let's say it looks like two houses, but in the back, I combine them as one big backyard, and then you go in from one, you know, so it allows me to use a little more open space. So where does that fit in? Yeah. Right. So you know, you want to use it like that. Exactly. Something like that. So you're using it as part of your space, but it's not combined. So if you read these mafarshim very strict use reading, it sounds like it would not apply. But this is the most common case. So now let's go back to the Beis Yosef. And I think it's pretty clear that even the Beis Yosef would agree that works, okay? Now, let me show you two places in the Beis Yosef that I think he's saying that. Okay, go to page 56. So 56 in the Beis Yosef, he He says like this in the first of the not the widest line, yeah, the wide lines there. He says, "V'kasev Rabbeinu Yerucham." Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, "Near Medivrei Rabbeinu Tam." He wants to say even Rabbeinu Tam agrees. Shim Haya Tzarech Oisei LeBeis HaKisei. So in those days, not everyone was zoicha to have a Beis HaKisei in their house. There was no bathrooms. There was no running water. So the Beis HaKisei was like one. There was an outhouse somewhere out there. So this guy wants to have his own private Beis HaKisei, but he's not. You can't put it in your own house because it's gonna make the whole house smell. So he buys the house next door to use it as the Beis HaKisei. Would that work? So he says, "Kayoitze boy, oy sheyesh oisem bayis chaloy nehezek ri'ya al Beis HaKisei." Or I want to use it because if anyone else gets it, I'm not going to be comfortable using my backyard. He has a second story. He sees into my pool, whatever. Yesh dina de bar metzra, filo eina ladira, even if I'm not using it from my primary home. Ulafi tam de asher sheyesh bayis dira. So first of all, Rabbeinu Yerucham says clearly, even if you don't attach them, but you're using it as a use that enhances the use of your primary residence, that's good enough. And then you go to the next page, on page 58. I think the Beis Yosef says it Peferish again. He says, in the thin lines here, he says, "V'chol batim ika dina de bar metzra." Really, there is bar metzra in homes. V'taima, and the reason is, "L'fi sha'af api, even though sha'koy sol shebein shnei batim av, even though you have a thick wall between the houses, v'chazak v'ein poischin pesach mizel lazeh, and you cannot open a wall between them. You could use one of the houses for storage of wood, shemen, oil, yayin, wine, and for your usage, the things that you need for the house. And the other house you use to live in. Or you'll be makif the backyard into one big yard. Since both backyard back entrances will open into one yard, it's considered one big use. So you see that the Beis Yosef himself is much more open now than just saying you have to be able to combine the homes. He's not saying you have to combine the homes. He's just saying you have to be able to use it as a use that's going to enhance the use of your primary residence. So I would say this is the pshara. The ones that were very, very makel were saying, any use, any hakpada you have, look, I just don't want anyone else living there. Nah. I want it. No, that's not good enough. But it's not the other extreme. They have to be able to combine the homes. It has to be that it's not just a convenience. You know, for example, I still think that if you're just buying it as a rental, it would not apply. But if you're buying it to enhance your primary residence, that would work. Okay? So I think that's the pshat l'maisa. Now, I think therefore, it will depend a little on what happens if you, a common case, you're buying it for your kids. You want to buy it for your kids. So the place can say it depends. Why are you buying it for your kids? Why do you want your kids to live next door to you? Is it because the guy's an older guy and he needs help? They have errands to do. They can't always get out. You know, they need help. They foresee that they're going to need help and they want their kids to be next to them so that they can help them out. They go do shopping for me, help me out when I need something. It's they feel safer knowing that their kids are next door to them. So that's considered enhancing the use of their primary residence because now they would bring their kids into their own home if they could. But now they're putting them next door. But if it's just, my kids need a house and you know, it really wouldn't make any difference to me whatsoever if they were here and blocked down or whatever, but you know, this house came up, I want it, it's good. I want my kids to be next to me, but they have no, they're going to be in there, I'm going to be here. And as long as it's to do with the fact that we're living next door, the lav dafka would apply there. Because there's no advantage to your primary residence to have them there. So it depends why you're buying it. For example, the other way around, let's say you're buying it for your parents. Right? You could have the other way. Parents are getting older, they want to retire, move down to Florida, right? So if they need to be next door, because you know that you're going to be back and forth a lot of times checking up on them, and therefore having them there is good, so that would work. If it's Tamazay, they need a place to live, then it wouldn't necessarily apply. So I think this is the rule of thumb, is that it has to be, the give the neighbor a schus, it has to be that it's enhancing his primary residence use. And that, I think, fits into all the shittas now. Now, what about the shittas in shul? It's the same thing. if your son is davening three rows away and you're here, it's like a schmuck for you. You're not going to be able to yourself daven as well because you don't know where he is. So there's a certain advantage to having the seat next to you for your child. So therefore, that would apply the same way. So it doesn't have to be you can combine it only, even if there's some sort of advantage to help your primary use. Okay, but if the child is, hey, my brother-in-law is moving down to Florida, he needs a seat in the shul, I may as well hop the seat. That doesn't help you anything. So that wouldn't apply. Okay. Now, so just going back. So according to that, what was the Taz saying? This is what David mentioned before. The Taz we saw said if there's a makom hiluch harabim between them, it doesn't apply. So here's where I think the Taz is very relevant. Okay. What happens if, and I know an attorney told me that this case came up, and the guy, he was in the middle of a closing, and the guy calls up and, no, you can't do the closing. I'm the matron. So he says, oh yeah, where do you live? Across the street. Oh, hold on. Across the street's the matron now? Oh, let me one second. What about across the street?
According to these svaras, you have the same thing.
Oh, so you say according to these svaras, you have the same thing. Because if you go literally in the Rashba, you have to combine the homes, okay. But across the street, you don't have it. The answer is that across the street is not considered a matzah. That's what the Rat Taz is saying. The Taz is saying is that if there's a hiluch harabim beinayim, then we can't consider, there's gotta be a break, or else ain't no davar soif.
The fact that it enhances your house doesn't make a difference because it could be three blocks away.
Right. It has to be that you're under the definition of matrons, of a neighbor. Once you're a neighbor, what's the advantage of being a neighbor? Zakta Taz, if you're across the street, there's a makom hiluch harabim, that's an absolute break that says now that anyone on that side of the street is now off the map because otherwise, ain't no davar soif in this.
The same thing as a south.
Exactly. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, two houses over also better than three houses over. And four houses over is better than five houses over. Ain't no davar soif. So the Taz is saying, no, you got to be next door. What's called next door? There's no hiluch harabim beinayim.
Back-to-back would be the same.
Oh, but according to this, back-to-back would work because back-to-back, there's no hiluch harabim, and even if not going to attach it, but you have these advantages, you're able to go back and forth, okay? So I think that's what the Taz is saying. So I saw a tshuva discuss what happens in a condo to buy the house, the apartment next to you, for sure works. What about to buy the condo on top? So he says, it depends. To buy the condo on top, if the condo association will allow you to build a two-story condo. So then for sure, it's the same thing. You know, he has a suffix there. If who's better? Anyway, who's better? The guy next door or the guy on top, right? Okay, fine. But what if they don't allow you to combine, but Lemaisa, the guy wants the apartment underneath him because he wants to be able to use stuff there, all these, everything we've been saying. So in that sefer, he says, no, that is what the Taz is coming to say. You have to walk through the stairs or take the elevator to get to the next apartment. We're not going to say, well, it's better to have an apartment in this building than the other building. That's true. But that's not going to make you a matzron now. Because otherwise, it's not just on the floor next, then it's then ain't no davar soif.
I also just less noise. Because if you're in the bedrooms on the upper floor, so you're all the bedrooms on the upper floor, if you go out and around,
right,
so a noise trampling on your head.
You mean to buy the one on top of you?
Yeah.
You want to buy the one on top of you and keep it empty.
Or only sleeping on there, so they're not making noise. Really,
no, I'm saying if you can attach them, you can attach them. But let's you can't attach them.
Everybody wants to downstairs. You want everybody to step it on your head.
Oh, meaning you're going to use it literally that your kitchen's, every time you got to get a cup of salt seltzer, you got to go out and say. Right. So since it's derech hiluch harabim, right? Derech hiluch harabim, that doesn't work. Now, this safer.
Today, on fancy buildings, you have the elevators go directly into your apartment.
Right.
So is that a makom hiluch harabim? Because only you have access.
Right.
Your fob.
No, you don't have to go to the lobby. You don't have to go to the lobby. No. You have your two apartments. It goes straight into my apartment. Actually, it's interesting. My mother just moved to Eretz Yisrael, and she lives upstairs on the third floor. My sister lives on the second floor, and they talk like back and forth through and the elevator is open to the apartments. So it's like, you know, I hear what you're saying, you know, but But, you know, okay. No, so he has a svara in this sefer. He wants the taina that maybe the stairwell is not considered makom hilchos harabim because it's really only for the people in the building. So you're really a shutif in the stairwell. So it's kiyu, I own one property. I'm a shutif in the next property. And then I want to buy the third property. So I never really lost my schus. It's just a hemshech kind of, because I'm a shutif in the stairwell. But it's just a little stretch. But Akoponim, I think if you go with this setup, the way we're saying it, I think it's the most logical, and I think it fits into the most shitas. So basically, to sum up, the Gemara we spoke out says that if you cannot combine the fields, there's no bar mitzvah. Okay. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, based on that, there's no bar mitzvah by homes b'chlal. How do we, la halacha, we hold there is bar mitzvah by homes. Why? What happened to the svar of Rabbeinu Tam that they cannot be combined? Some say because by homes, it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to combine it. There's an advantage inherently to being your own, in charge of your own neighbor. That's a chiddush. That would apply in seats and shul very liberally. I want to buy it. I want to put my brother-in-law there. I want to put whatever. Fine. The other side is, sounds like when you read it literally, you have to be able to combine the homes. And according to that, we said that the seats in shul would only be if it's a bench situation where you can expand your seat and make it more comfortable. And we're trying to say a middle shot based on the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef says that from the Rabbi Yeruchim, and he says at the end, in two places, that any use that you have that will enhance your primary use of your home, that's going to be enough for dinar de bar mitzvah. So you don't have to combine it, but you have to be able to enhance your existing use with the bar mitzvah. But that's provided that there's no makom hilchos harabim b'neihem, that you're a neighbor. It can't be you're down the block or across the street or anything like that. So therefore, like we said, anything which will enhance your use is good enough, and anything which is just you want to literally just rent it out as a rental, or you want to hey, my uncle's moving to town. He needs a place. The house next door came to me. I want it. But as long as I do it you, then that wouldn't be enough either necessarily. It has to be part of your own shimush.
How do you deal with the air rights? Say 40 by 100 lot, let's say, another 40 by 100 lot. So you're able to build.
Oh, so we'll talk about that next week. What happens if I have the development rights on the property, but someone else owns the property? And then the property next door goes for sale. Who has the bar mitzvah? The guy that the owns the building or the guy that owns the property? Right? Or if the property guy is selling, does the guy who owns the property, the building guy is selling, does the guy who owns the property have the rights? Or let's say the other way around, the guy who's selling the property is selling, does the guy who owns the building have the right to buy the property?
Or a tenant, does the tenant have the right
to buy? Or the tenant. The tenant's going to be in 2 weeks, but I don't think we're going to do it next week. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so...